Dear friends, I'm turning to the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. It's a well-known verse, and for the lapse of time we have before us, I would like to analyze that verse and speak to your soul. I read it for you. It's a rhetorical question, which means the answer is obvious. You should know the answer. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? I stop there. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The superlatives there, the adverbs, are so precious. So the title is very simple, drawn from that verse, a so great salvation. Why? A so great God, I won't give you any background, that's why we read Hebrews chapter 1, the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, unparalleled, incomparable. Sometimes in our foolish we try to compare Christ with mere man. But remember, this is God, this is the Son of God, exalted, majestic. So, a great God, a great Son, a great sacrifice, but also a great salvation. My dear friends, I think the word salvation is a beautiful word. Today you hardly hear that word in the streets. But salvation, to be rescued, to be delivered, I think there is the idea of freedom also. I'm free. I'm free to live. I'm free to think. I'm free to walk. And I'm on my way to heaven. Because if the Son of God sets you free, free you are indeed. So, at least to me, it's a beautiful word. So, salvation. Salvation here is sure, it is solid, and it is secured. So, that's what we need. So, no wonder the writer is telling us, how shall we escape? May I speak to you individually? You know, I have the advantage, I don't know most of you, so nobody will say I'm addressing him. But indeed, I'm addressing you. I'm not speaking to the walls. I'm speaking to individuals. Please, are you saved? Are you saved? So that's very important. Because you see, how shall we escape if we neglect? Negligence is a deadly sin. It is deadly. It is a big sin. It is a great sin. And we all fall into that. Your soul is at stake. That's the most important part of you. You know, you are not just body. You have a soul. And that soul is so precious. Your soul is at stake. And you do nothing about it. So oblivious, careless, unconcerned, come on. If you have ever listened to anything I said, I often say, are you just a stone? Are you just an animal? Oh, certainly, we must be better than that. So I want you to be thinking, my dear friends, the question, look at it, how shall we escape? We don't have time to go into the details, but later, you know, you have a break between the two services. Look at just the four first verses of chapter 2 and count how many times you have the word way, way, way. Meaning what? He's speaking to every one of us. So the question, are you saved? Or are you negligent, is not just from an elite, it's for all of us, whoever you are, we are included. Yes, it's collective, but it is also individual. Why? Because salvation is personal. God has no grandchildren. You know that. He has only children. So think about these things, because no one is exempt from their need of salvation. My dear friends, I'm sure we all have heard a tragedy happening because of negligence. I remember, maybe this is 30 years ago, you know, the time of cassettes. In the car, you have a cassette player, and this man, in changing the cassette, pulling out one cassette, putting another one in the cassette player in a car, life is gone. Doesn't take long. By negligence, not being careful, not watching. And you all heard about just a cigarette thrown carelessly can cause a mega fire. And so many examples, so many illustrations in this world. Just neglecting to pull the brake. I was reading recently somebody who confused the brake and the accelerator in his car. Damage. Negligence. Are you guilty of negligence? But I'm not speaking about neglecting earthly things. That's even dangerous. But to neglect your own soul. Oh, that's a tragedy. So, let's come to the text, because I see here a number of things I would like to tell you about. And you know, my dear friends, may I tell you something just in passing by? A sermon is never finished. You only have to stop it. So I will stop when I see you are tired. Because your soul is at stake. It's so important. I was totally lost. As a young man, I was 22 when I found the Lord Jesus Christ. How? By reading the Bible. The Bible which I burned. The Bible which I hated. But that's another episode. We will come to another time. But the first thing here, look at this salvation. It is a so great provision. Why is it a so great provision? Simply because it is from God, you will say. But let me list for you a number of things that it does to you. It provides. It provides to you and me to flee from the wrath to come. You like it or not, there will be a day when you and me will face God. You can deny it. You can reject it. But that doesn't change the matter. People saying there is no God, the fact that you say there is no God doesn't change anything in God. God will still be there. So it is a so great provision, and I like to use that adverb, so. Actually, you know the passage, John 3:16, for God so loved. There is no translation that can really translate to you that word so, because it should be, if it translated correctly, it should be for God so, an echo from earth to heaven of so. So it combines quality and quantity, which you don't find in this world. Sometimes when something is too much, the quality is desirable. And when something is a quality, the quantity is not there. So that's our world. But this salvation, it is a so great provision, because it makes you to flee from darkness to light. It makes you to be moved from death to life. What is better than to be risen from the dead? And that's what this salvation does to you and me. But also, it changes a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner, dead, doomed, condemned. I'm using carefully the words. I know they hurt. We don't like those words. To say to somebody you are doomed, but it's the reality. doomed, condemned, rejected by God, separated from God. A sinner becomes, through conversion, in trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ, I become a saint. I often say, I have this illustration. I was taking a wedding. The mother of the bride is a Catholic. So I was taking that wedding on the day, that day. She came. I met her at the door, let her in. She looked at the church and she said, and people started to come also. She asked me, do you have saints in this church? And I looked at her and I said, yes. And she said to me, where are they? I said, here is one, here is one, here is one. I think she almost succumbed. She almost had a heart attack. So you see, you and me, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Oh, my dear friends, most of the time I don't feel like a saint. I feel more like a sinner. But that is the declaration of God for you and me if you have ever trusted in Christ. So, there is a lot to come, as I said, but this salvation comes with a so great provision. But now, second, this salvation also comes with such a great problem. Look at the verse. It's all in the verse here. I read verse 2, because the verse 2 will tell us your problem and my problem. And for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Every word there is important. You are a transgressor? Oh, oh, oh. The preacher today is walking on our toes. We don't want to. Am I a transgressor? Yes, you are one. I am one. But look at the verse again. A disobedient person. And because we are transgressors, because we have disobeyed, what should we get? And the text says, you shall receive a just recompense of reward. So that's the problem. We have sinned against God. And I still remember we visited a lady. She must be in her 80s. And a friend of us asked me to go and explain the gospel to her. And the first thing we told her, you know, my dear, you are a sinner. She said to me, Pastor Abraham, please don't call me a sinner. I said, but that's what God said. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We all have sinned and come short. All. Without exception. So it's a problem. But I must obey God, but I cannot obey God. It's very hard. What have I done? Why am I guilty before God? You know, God is holy and I am not. But against what have we sinned? Look at the verse again. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The word spoken by angels is what? Is the law of God. We have sinned against the Ten Commandments of God. We have sinned against the Word of God. But even greater, we have sinned against the living God. So holy, thrice holy. And we are wretched sinners. So we have sinned indeed, and every one of us, my evil thoughts, my hidden sins, my scandalous sins, open sins, I think I can hide them. You know, it's interesting in the Psalms we read that you and me, we come out of the womb speaking lies. I don't think you ever sat with your child to give him a lecture about how to lie. Where do they get it from? Our fallen nature. And I cannot understand how somebody could deny the fall of man. We are not what we should be. And the reason, it's not because we don't have better food or better medication or better GPs, because we have sinned against the living God. So this is our problem, so ruined, so corrupt. And we need somebody to fulfill the law on our behalf. You know who is that person? The Lord Jesus Christ. He took the recompense of the reward. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Oh, my dear friends, it's all here. All my goodness and good works cannot save you. Do you know that? I know people who have been in church for long, long. When you tell them, you know, you cannot be saved by good works. No, come on. No, you cannot be saved by good works. You are saved by grace through faith, not by good works. It is a gift of God that no man could boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All religions are good work focused. The only saving religion is grace given. That's the difference. Oh, my dear friends, let me come now. I said a great provision, so great provision. Christ procured that salvation to us, but we are facing a problem. The problem of our sins. Now, where is the solution? If I have lost you so far, this is crucial. I want your attention because I'm going to list to you 10 things. I hope that will be a help to your soul, that you may think and say, how did I miss this salvation? I want it for myself. I want it for my neighbor. I want it for my children. I want it for my grandchildren. And I want it for myself. So I want, each one could be a whole sermon, but I'm just going to list them to you as they come to my mind. So here they are. What is the solution to my problem? Number one, it is a so great salvation because of the author of the salvation I'm receiving. Who is the author of that salvation? God himself. And it is interesting, as I said, you have a break between the two services. Look at the four verses. They speak volumes. In verse 3 and 4, you find what we call Trinity. It's there. The Father is there, the Son is there, the Holy Spirit is there. So salvation comes from the triune God. He's the architect. He's the builder. He's the operator. He's the facilitator. He's the generator of our salvation. And I said I will just list them, but it's all here. My dear friends, you know, this should humble us. God came to us. Not us striving, working hard to get to God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Man is amazed and wonders that man walked on the moon. No, this is nothing. The greatest amazement we should have is God walking on this earth, polluted earth, corrupted earth, sinful earth, fallen earth. So it is a great salvation because it comes from God. My dear friend, if it was from me, Salvation for me, I will pick and choose. Depending on your faith, depending on your moods, depending on your culture, depending on your nationality, your ethnicity. Yes, God does choose, of course, but it doesn't depend on man. Number two, it saves us from a great peril. What is the peril we have? The peril of sin, the peril of hell. You know how the Bible calls it? The lake of fire. It saves us from, how shall we escape the peril of bondage, the peril of guilt. I was saying yesterday, if you missed that, my dear friends, I believe many of the things people are facing in this world is because of guilt. But they will say it's depression. I'm not entering anything medical. I'm speaking about spiritual depression. Guilt. When somebody is saved, you know what happens? The guilt is removed. You are free like the air. So, my dear friends, the peril of addictions, the peril of Satan, the enemy of your soul. And so many things, the peril of judgment to come. Number three, it's so great salvation because it saves man, man's most valuable treasure. Do you know what is your most valuable treasure this morning? Your soul. The whole universe cannot buy one soul, just one. Do you see the worth, the value? The whole universe. And fourthly, it is a great, so great salvation because it is undeserved. I cannot pay for it. God is not a trade man. He has nothing to sell. He's a giver. And number five, it is a so great salvation because it is finished. It is finished. John 19, verse 30, it's there. And perfectly, permanently, and powerfully fulfilled by Christ Jesus. Number six, it is so costly. Not gold or silver. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The blood of God, we read in Acts 20, verse 28. The blood of God. That's the price that was paid. It is so costly and a great price to set sinners free. The only begotten Son of God. And He is precious. No currency, no earthly currency. Number seven, it is so great because of its scope. The scope. All nationalities. All ethnicities, whosoever. You know what is your name this morning if you want to be saved? Whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not half saved, shall be saved freely. So it meets the spiritual needs of every sinner everywhere. Remember in Christ, the just suffered for the unjust. It is an open call to all sinners. Free call, the free offering of the gospel. That's how it is called, the free offering of the gospel. Through the tender mercies of God. John Bunyan, the tender mercies of God. And you receive it freely. Oh, my dear friends, it saves all kinds of sinners. The chief sinner and the chief moralist, the one who thinks I'm a good person. I never hurt anyone. I'm a good neighbor. But we are not saved by our goodness. We are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, number 8, once you receive it, it is eternal. Hebrews 5:9, if you have time later to read those verses, it is an eternal salvation. God will never rewind it. God will never take it away. God will never cancel it. God will never postpone it if you want it. So it's all there, an eternal salvation, powerfully given in life. And it is eternal, you know, and wonderful because it takes you beyond the grave. Sometimes when I read Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, you know that verse, I'm sure, Philippians 1 verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just keeping us unto the grave, but beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. So that is why when a believer dies, it's not the body, it's nothing. The soul goes immediately to the Lord. So let me give you number 9. It is so, so great salvation because it secures all the blessings of God. Once you have it, the showers come. They follow me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So you are secured and you are given the unsearchable riches of Christ. But lastly, look at our verse. I don't want to go away from the verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? It is so great because it has been spoken to us by the Lord. Not just by the Lord, then by witnesses. Witnesses who heard it from the Lord. They were not storytellers. They didn't invent things. They didn't just sit in a corner somewhere and came back telling people their dreams and hallucinations. No. 2 Peter 1, we read that they were holy men whom God inspired. So it's all here. The long-promised Savior. God spoke through angels, apostles, and prophets. But look, this is amazing again to me. Instead of just sending us prophets, angels, apostles, the King himself came to us. I think our King will never come to me in this nation. But the King, the great King, the only King, came to us. Thou shalt call him Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. So I don't need to go and knock on doors looking for God. In Christ, God is in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Oh, my dear friends, I want to tell you more, but our time is over, and I don't want to wear you. But you see, Christ here is the sacrifice and the sacrificer. He paid the price himself. Now, in closing, may I ask you, are you a receiver or a neglecter? That could have been the title also, a receiver or a neglecter. Look at the verse. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And in verse 1, what do you need to do? Take heed, listen. Give earnest heed. My dear friend, do you see here? Engage your mind. Some people think that to have faith is not to think. But that's a big lie. Faith thinks. Why? because the mind is the palace of faith. Most people is all about feelings, feelings. But when you read the Bible, your mind needs to be engaged. I understood I am a sinner. I understood I'm far from the living God. I understood that Christ is the Savior. I understood that He died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of my sins. And I come to Him trembling to receive free salvation. And He said, I will never cast away anyone who comes to me. So I need only to come. My dear friend, run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Adam and Eve didn't escape? They were expelled from the garden. Do you remember the people of the ancient world in the time of Noah? They didn't escape. I think they scoffed and mocked and laughed at Noah. Come on, is this man a fool building up an ark where while there is no water? But when the waters came, I think they didn't have time to laugh anymore. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't escape. How do you think you and me will escape them? So it's all here. Instead of crushing the sinner, the Father, God Himself bruised and crushed His own Son instead of you and me, if you trust in Him. My dear friend, He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I think, what held Christ on the cross there? Our sins. What held Christ on the cross there? His love for us. Nothing else. Please, how will you go back home today? As a neglecter, I heard these things all my life, but they mean nothing to me. Oh, here, Christ is the exit. Christ is the way to escape. And this great salvation could be yours right now. Immediately. Come to Christ. He is the Lord. Our closing hymn is hymn number 547. Hymn number 547. And I hope we will sing it with prayer and with good intention also in our souls. And it says, I bring my sins to Thee, the sins I cannot count. Hymn number 547. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and continue with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.